Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. As you know, we're in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. We thought it was our duty to help you stay productive throughout this period, and that's why we put this bonus episode together at the last minute. The reality is, for most of us, life goes on and we still have to adapt to what's going on. We have bills to pay, mortgages and rent, and you know, deadlines still have to be met. A lot of people are now forced to work from home, which is challenging, and then having your kids at home on top of that makes it even more difficult to be productive. So we want to share some tips with you here today to help you stay productive throughout this time. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/corona. And now, on with the show. All right, welcome to a special and bonus episode of The Productivity Show. Normally, we record every Monday and also publish every Monday a new episode, but with the whole COVID-19 or the coronavirus pandemic going on, we decided to record a bonus episode today. And with me, I have Brooks Duncan. How are you doing today?
I'm all right, hunkered down in my basement, but other than that, happy to be here recording a podcast.
Well, you are literally in a basement. You're not joking. You are in a real basement. Is it a kind of like a man basement, like a heaven on earth basement, or what are we talking about here?
Yeah, so I'm in my home office, which is in the basement. And originally it was a office slash kids TV room, but now all of that is gone and it's just my office. I've taken it over. So yes, it is a man cave, I guess you could say.
So for those who don't know who are listening, my name is Tan. I'm the founder and CEO of Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life.
And I'm Brooks, the operations director at Asian Efficiency. We are the hosts of the Productivity Show.
So before we start diving into today's topic, which is all about COVID-19 and how to stay productive during these turbulent times, one of the things we always like to do on the Productivity Show is share some of our favorite productivity resources as of lately. So one of our favorite resources as of right now is a meditation app called Calm. You can go to calm.com or just download the Calm app with a C. And it's a daily meditation app that you can use for 10 minutes. And we use it ourselves here at Asian Efficiency. I personally use it as well to use it as a form of guided meditation. And if you have trouble falling asleep late at night, they have really cool sleep stories as well that you can play it and help you fall asleep. So go check that out as well. Next up, we have Contiplex, which is a supplement that you can use to boost your immune system. So during these times, boosting your immune system is always a good idea, right? So people oftentimes talk about vitamin C and vitamin D, but the supplement is something that most people don't talk about. It's called Contiplex. I've used this a lot to recover from fevers and flus in the past. And actually, as part of my travel protocol or checklist, anytime I travel, before I go on a plane or go to the airport, I actually take some Contiplex as well to imbue my immune system before I travel. So something I highly recommend, you can just buy on Amazon or most grocery stores as well. It's called Contiplex by Standard Process, and we'll have links to that in the show notes as well. And then also an app that will help you stay focused, because as you know, there's so much stuff going on, new updates coming out all the time. It might be really challenging to focus. So what if you firewalled your attention by using an app? And the one that we like and recommend the most is called Freedom.2. So Freedom.2 is the app that you can use that will allow you to block websites, social media on your computer and phone. So it's really useful to not get distracted that way. So again, we'll have links to all of that in the show notes as well. We'll have a special episode link for this one. If you go to theproductivityshow.com/corona, that is the URL for this time. I'm feeling really bad for the brand Corona because I'm pretty sure they're affected in many ways. But if you want to find links to all of the show notes, you can just go there and be sure to grab all that stuff there. Or if you're listening to us right now in the podcast app, just go to the podcast app show notes and you'll see everything there as well. Okay, so Brooks, let's start diving into COVID-19, how to stay productive and how to get stuff done while this stuff is going on. Now, the reason we wanted to put this episode together is that, you know, there's this pandemic going on. It's so much more challenging to focus right now, right? And if you're somebody who wants to be productive, then this episode is specifically for you while we're dealing with all this stuff. A lot of people are watching and listening right now are probably working from home for the first time. And if that is you, then you're going to learn a few tips to kind of help you be productive at home and make sure that you get stuff done because it's not as easy as you think it might be. And also with the whole social distancing that's going on right now, what are some of the things that you should do and how do you deal with this, especially for somebody who's pretty extroverted? How do you deal with social distancing? What do you do at home? What do you do outside? What are some of the best practices that you can do to kind of like address all this stuff? Brooks, I know we're going through some weird times right now, but are you a doctor? Are you a medical expert?
I'm many things, but a doctor and a medical expert is not one of them. So we definitely will not be giving medical advice. We do recommend, when possible, you stay home and follow the guidance from wherever your local area is on what they say you should do. So we're not going to be talking about COVID-19 from that aspect for sure. Go with what your medical experts say.
Yeah, we are not doctors, medical experts whatsoever. We want to offer productivity advice and tips and strategies to help you stay productive during these times, right? And that is what this episode is all about, because we are in crazy times right now. And I know with Facebook, social media, the news on TV and everything else, it's just so much more challenging to focus and get stuff done. So we want to offer some tips to help you here today. And I know many of your lives and people around you have been impacted by this, right? Whether it's working from home, losing gigs, maybe your business got shut down. Maybe you have to practice social distancing, which is strange and new to you. That's definitely a new thing for most of us here. And we just want to share some tips to help you stay on track and be productive while we're going through this thing here. So Brooks, what is your story about this? For those who don't know you, and what are you dealing with right now? I'm kind of curious to hear how COVID-19 impacted you.
Yeah, we just thought we would share kind of what our situations are. So for me, for myself, the working from home thing has not been a problem. I've worked from home for more than 10 years, so that I'm totally used to. It just so happens I have two kids, a teenager and a tween, I guess you would say. It just so happens that it's spring break right now, so they are home and not able to go out. But it's already been announced by our province that school will not be recommencing after spring break for the foreseeable future. And my wife, who is definitely not a work from home person, she does not like it at all. She is working home now for the first time, first extended time at the same time. So we've got a whole family stuck in this townhouse, and we're all trying to get by there. How about you?
Yeah, I think for the first time I've been aware what label you can give my lifestyle, which is quarantine. I've been somebody who's pretty introverted already, works from home already. You know, I don't really eat out that much, right? So I got meal deliveries sent to me every single week. And so the impact on me has been in different ways. So for example, obviously running Asian Efficiency and how business has been impacted, that's something that impacts me directly, right? So it's something that I'm aware of. I'm thinking about like what's going on right now and how that impacts Asian Efficiency in the future and how that impacts our clients and the people that we serve. So I'm a little bit more aware there, but just the fact that I have to stay home is kind of a lack of freedom, right? And impacted in that sense. And now that the bars and restaurants are closed as well, that's definitely a bigger challenge now because there's nothing else to do. So we are recording this today, and that is March 18. So as we are saying stuff and sharing some ideas and stuff, things might change, you know, as we roll out this episode. But we are recording this as of March 18 here in Austin, Texas, and Vancouver, Canada here. But we want to share some tips with you today, five specifically, to kind of help you cope through these turbulent times and make sure that you stay productive. So the first tip that we want to dive into is how to work from home and in a remote team. Now, Asian Efficiency started back in 2011, and we've always been a remote company. Most of us have always worked from home ever since we started the company. And I know for some of you that are listening, this might be a dream come true. You actually get to work from home for the first time, and this is something maybe you've always wanted. And then I know there's some of you as well that go, you know what? I want to give it a try, but I don't know if this is right for me or this is going to be way more challenging. We want to offer some tips for you here today to make sure that you get the most out of that situation, because there are some nuance to working from home. And, you know, as somebody who's been doing that for over 10 years, I've had a lot of ideas and tips and strategies on this. And we also just released a blog post on this topic as well that we'll link to in the show notes on how to deal with this whole COVID-19 and working from home and what you can do. But let's just share some tips, Brooks, since I know you've been working from home for so many years as well. One interesting trends, I think, is that with this whole COVID-19, if there's a silver lining anywhere, is that it's going to be a great push to start working remotely for people all over the world. You know, I know companies have always thought about, you know, moving remote and maybe even like half the time or even one day of the week. But through this whole pandemic, I think this is going to be the biggest push to really move this thing forward. And I know you have a lot of tips and strategies for working from home. What are some of your favorite tips for people out there who are running businesses, maybe are working from home for the first time, some of the best practices that you have? I'm curious to hear what you have to share there.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of companies and a lot of jobs and roles and managers, sometimes the employees have wanted to work from home in certain situations, and the companies always resisted, saying, oh, you know, our employees can't work from home. It wouldn't work for your role. Well, guess what? Now we're like the biggest global experiment to find out whether that's the case. And I think in a lot of cases, all these jobs that quote unquote could not be done from home, and for sure there's a lot of them that can't, but for at least for information workers, a lot of jobs could be done from home. Even my sister-in-law is a piano teacher at a university, and now she's having to figure out, how can I teach piano to my students online? And guess what? We're all going to figure this stuff out together. One thing that definitely has worked for us at Asian Efficiency is using a video conferencing tool that allows you to video stream your meetings. These are not all created equal, I will say. You can do audio meetings, and a lot of times at AE, we do a lot of audio meetings for sure. However, for keeping in touch with your team, nothing is better than video. Being able to see each other, being able to see the nuances, being able to hash things out, having a good video tool that you aren't fighting with all the time is really, really key. So we used to use Skype for this, and we had no end of problems. If you are using Skype and it's working for you, that's great. However, we were not having a great experience with it. So a couple of years ago, actually, we switched over to Zoom, which I think the whole internet is switching over to right now. And it's been rock solid for us. So if you and the free plan, we use a paid plan, the pro plan. However, if you're just doing a bunch of one-off meetings, the free plan works great as well.
Yeah. I mean, Skype, I really don't want to talk more about Skype because it was just such a terrible experience. Great for one-on-one calls if you need to, but if you just go bigger than that, then I would say Zoom is way superior. I know, you know, there's WebEx and stuff and GoToWebinar and all these other platforms, but we have found Zoom to be the most reliable. And again, when you can see people on video, it's just a different experience and much more engaging than just having audio-only conference calls. Because oftentimes, if you have audio-only, you can easily multitask. Nobody knows that you're doing it, right? So you're not as focused and engaged and present. Whereas if you turn video on, it forces everybody to really be engaged and present. So that's something we definitely recommend. The other thing I would say is that this is something we've learned over the last year and a half or so, almost 2 years now, is that setting up pairing sessions as much as possible between team members is a really good best practice. And this comes from the coding world or the software development world, where two coders would sit next to each other and then kind of like work together on solving a problem or creating something. And then as they're working coding together, they can kind of solve problems and come up with ideas and ideations and stuff. But if you apply this to a remote team, that can be a little bit more challenging. So what you want to do is, if you can set up a like a Zoom meeting or a video conference meeting where you have two or three or more team members working on a particular task or project, it creates a lot of like connection, bonding, also learning as well. Because maybe one person could be sharing their screen as they're doing stuff, and other people can kind of like pitch in with ideas and suggestions and stuff like that. So that's what we mean with pairing sessions. So you want to ideally pair one person with another person and then kind of work through a task together. Because oftentimes what happens in remote teams is that when you are all isolated, you just tend to work in silos. You do your thing, your coworker does his thing, other coworker does her thing, and everyone kind of works on their own. And then maybe you come together every now and then and then discuss, which is not like a terrible thing. But if you want to create innovation, if you want to create the best possible product or shipment of something, having pairing sessions is the way to go.
Also, one thing I would add to that too is it can, at least initially, it can feel slower doing a pairing session. Like I know for me, there's been many times where I felt that it probably would have been faster if I just hunkered down and busted out a something myself versus being on with somebody, hashing it out, discussing it, teaching it in some cases. However, the net benefit to the organization is so much greater because, again, like you said, you have that collaboration and maybe having ideas that you hadn't thought of. So that's number one. But also number two, now you've got two people who know how to do something where maybe only one person knew before. So then if one of you goes on vacation or you want to expand the career of the other person, now you've got two people who have benefited from that. So pairing it is really, 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 really important with when you're working remotely. Even if you're not, and this is one thing I've heard of some companies do, I find it fascinating. We don't do this too much because for us, our time zones don't tend to mesh a lot. But one thing I've heard some companies do is they will just hop on a Zoom meeting. And even if they're not quote unquote pairing, even if they're working on different things, they just like being on together and working on their stuff. And then they can still talk about things. They can still bring up questions, but it's just having that other person nearby can be really, really helpful as well. So that's something you could look into.
Toby in the chat asks, is pairing session one-on-one with coworkers? Just want to make sure I have the right context for the discussion. So yeah, pairing session could be one-on-one with someone, right? So me and Brooks could pair on something and say, hey, let's create a podcast episode for COVID-19. Let's hop on Zoom together and create a Google Doc and then just co-create this document and show notes for this episode. That's one way we could have done it. And that would be an example of a pairing session. But we could also add a third person and say, hey, let's get Marmel on this as well and say, hey, let's hop on a Zoom. All three of us work together on creating the show notes here. And then kind of like, think of it as kind of like a meeting, but you're actually doing stuff, actually getting stuff done and sharing ideas and implementing stuff. So usually by the time is done, you have actually created something, right? So that's what we mean with a pairing session.
Yeah, for example, in a couple of days, I'm going to be doing something pretty complex in our customer, our CRM system. And it is normally something I would just take on myself. And it is going to be messy because I'm going to be moving things around and figuring stuff out. I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to do it. However, I am going to do it with, it's probably going to end up being four other people on Zoom with me as I do it. And then we'll be discussing it as we do it. And it'll be really great because I'm sure they'll have ideas that I hadn't thought of, but also then they get to see and learn from, well, it's kind of scary to go into my mind, but they'll get to see the way I solve problems and figure stuff out. And then later when they're in a similar situation, they'll then have that experience of having been through that, even if it's not them that's actively doing the task. So yeah, we found pairing in a remote team really, really powerful.
Now, another tip for running a remote company or a remote team, or if you're working from home and you're managing people, is to have a daily huddle. So this is an idea that we borrowed from Scrum and also from Scaling Up, which is kind of like a framework we follow for running Asian efficiency. And it's the idea that the whole team comes together at a specific time once a day to kind of like, quote unquote, get in the huddle and kind of share what's going on that day, what everyone's working on, and then identify any sort of roadblocks that might be there. And this meeting doesn't take more than 5 or 10 minutes or so. And what's important there is that when you come together and you start sharing roadblocks or things that you can't really do because you're waiting for something or you can't start on something until somebody else, you know, actually gave you the right information or started something else. The point of that meeting is not to actually solve problems, but just to identify the roadblocks. And then once the meeting is over, everyone kind of knows, like, this is going to get done today. This is the thing that everyone is stuck on. After the meeting, if there are roadblocks or things are being held back or people can't start something, then you can use that time to kind of like chat and say, hey, let's go ahead and fix this, right? So, for example, when we have our daily huddle at Asian Efficiency, it always happens at 11 a.m. Central Time. So the whole team comes together. Everyone knows wherever you are in the world, you could be in Asia, you could be on the beach. It doesn't really matter. If you are supposed to be working, then you know that you're going to be at that meeting at 11 a.m. Central. And then we kind of go over like, hey, what's going on? Who's talking to clients? You know, and we call it a what's up. And everyone just kind of shares what's going on. And then we go over our sprint boards. So we kind of look at all the stuff that we said we would do over the next 2 weeks during our sprint. So we look at that every single day. And then we try to identify roadblocks. So where are people stuck? What's holding us back from shipping stuff? What's holding us back from getting stuff done? And people will then bring up, oh, I can't do this because Tan, you need to review that. Or I can't do that because Brooks didn't do this just yet. Or Marmel can't, you know, do this because she can't find the document or whatever. And so we start to bring up all these things that people say, hey, I'm stuck. I can't do this. And instead of diving in and saying, hey, this is what you should do or offer coaching or solutions, we just say, okay, these are all the roadblocks. By the end of the meeting, everyone's going to share what they're going to be working on. And then after the meeting is done, people can then kind of like pair up or message each other and then say, hey, you mentioned that you couldn't be doing this. Like, let me help you and sort that out for you. So that way the meeting is really short and quick, right? It's, again, not for problem solving. It shouldn't last more than 10 minutes, ideally. But you can identify a lot of roadblocks and then allow people to disperse and do their thing.
Yeah, we're recording this podcast. We always record this, our podcast, in front of the dojo, our online productivity community. This time we decided to open it up and we just emailed everybody to say, hey, come on in. Anyone on our list is welcome, which has been great to get a lot of different thoughts and interactivity. But it's funny, there's kind of two messages here back to back. So Janira, who's a member of the dojo, says, she's having daily video huddles with the team. They tend to go a bit longer than usual, mainly because we're all feeling isolated, which is true. If you're used to working, like for myself, I've been working in my basement for 10 years. So for me, I'm totally used to it. However, if you're used to being in an office, it can definitely feel isolating. And so having these video huddles really, really helps with that. And she says it seems to really help with morale during this time. And I can totally see that. Whereas on the flip side, member who goes by Batman, her name's Carly, but hi, Carly, says she's trying to convince her team to use the videos because she feels that it really helps with feeling connected. And yeah, you know, feel free to send people this podcast because we have people in the chat sharing how much this helps morale and feeling connected. Really, really powerful.
Yeah. And if you're new to all of this, I would say just start with one daily huddle. And if you find that it's not working quite yet, I would actually recommend you do two huddles in a day, one earlier in the day and then one, say, in the afternoon, because it forces a lot of accountability, right? So if you know that you're daily huddle in the morning is you're going to get this done. You're promised to the team, you're going to get that done. And then there's a check-in in the afternoon and you have to say, hey, did you get that done or not? That adds another level of accountability. So if you're somebody who doesn't trust your teammates or you don't trust your people just yet, which I know is a big hurdle for a lot of people, implementing a morning and afternoon daily huddle, I think might be a great kind of like check-in to see like, hey, are people actually getting stuff done as they promised they would? And then Brooks, that's kind of like a big thing for you because you've probably seen this with a lot of people, that, you know, when they transition to online and working from home, that trust is usually a bigger challenge for most people, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is something that we hear a lot, and I know from experience of talking to people, they've said, you know, sometimes managers and employers will come up with a lot of reasons why working from home wouldn't work, but you can kind of tell that the reason is they don't trust their people. Whereas the flip side, some employers and managers straight up say we don't trust our people. The only way that you can do this is to give it a try. I think trusting your people when doing remote work is really, really important, because everybody, if you hired the person, you presumably hired them because they can do the job that you hired them to do. So I think we should be erring on the side of trust and letting people demonstrate the trust that we have in them. When we're talking about having video and stuff like that, it's not so much because we don't trust people and we want to make sure that they're doing what they say they do. It's more to foster that sense of connectedness. But if having video gives you that security blanket to make you feel better about doing that, then I say, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So when it comes to communication in a remote company or a remote team, one of the tips that we would recommend you implement is to use an instant messenger tool over email when you want to communicate with your people. I know most companies use email to stay in touch and they have like huge email chains, and we have found that to be super slow and inefficient, so we don't recommend it. We actually recommend that you use something like an instant messenger tool such as Slack to stay in touch with your people. And we use it at Asian Efficiency. A few years ago, we used HipChat. We moved over to Slack, partly because Slack got acquired by Atlassian. So that's the company that produces HipChat and Jira, which is what we use, and Confluence as well. So we kind of all integrate it in one sort of software suite. But the other thing is it has great integration with a lot of tools and platforms online. And I think it's the best instant messenger app out there. And so I highly encourage you to go check it out. We also have a course inside the dojo on how to get started with Slack. So if you're a dojo member, go check that out. And if you're not a dojo member, you can become a member by going to theproductivityshow.com/dojo and just try it out for $1 for your first month to kind of see how that works out for you. But there's a great course in there that shows you how to use Slack in your team setting. So definitely go check that out if you haven't yet.
Yeah, if you're in the Microsoft universe, though, Microsoft Teams is actually I think it's growing. It's getting a lot of traction, especially right now as people are going remote. A lot of companies are already kind of Office 365 type people. Check out Microsoft Teams. It's actually quite a good tool as well. The one thing I will also say about Instant Messenger, and this goes back to the concept of trusting your people, is what I don't recommend you do with Instant Messenger is let it be a attendance/monitoring tool. You should be okay with your team members and your employers dropping off Slack or dropping off Instant Messenger or going Do Not Disturb so that they can get their focused work done. Because Instant Messenger, I totally agree with Tan, is the best way or is a very good way for companies to be bounce ideas off each other, being in communication. However, it can also be a focus disruptor. So you need to set the expectation that, yes, we want to be able to reach you if we have things to do, but that it is okay if you need to drop off for 2 hours to get your focus work done. That is really important as well. Otherwise, it just becomes a monitoring type of situation, which then you get employees doing things like, I don't know what, doing things to make it look like they're online, but they're not. That's just wasting everybody's time. So just, it goes back to the trust your people thing, but also let your people focus.
When it comes to working from home and working in a remote team setting, we have so many more resources. So we'll link to a couple blog posts about this topic as well in the show notes, so you can dive deeper into it. And I'm pretty sure at some point we're going to have a dedicated episode just working from home, because we could talk about this forever. I know, Brooks, you've been working from home since 2010, and same here. We have decades of experience when we include other team members as well. So there's so much more to it, but I want to make sure that you have something to start off with as well. So we'll have links to some more stuff here. And so go check out the resources that we have in the show notes on working from home and in a remote company as well. All right, let's move on to tip number two. And that is, how do you get anything done when you have kids at home? With this whole COVID-19 thing, I know schools are being shut down. Kids are staying home. As we're recording, in a lot of places, it's spring break as well. Now, you know, spring break is something that you can always plan for every single year, right? But it's different this year because now you have no options to go out for most people and for most places. So what do you do? How do you get stuff done now? And so I'm going to let the expert speak here, because for those who don't know, I have no kids and Brooks has two. And we have team members who have a lot of kids, so we pulled their opinions on this as well. And we have tons of episodes on dealing with kids and how to stay productive with kids, which we'll link to in the show notes as well, and productive parenting. But Brooks, I'm curious to hear from your point of view, how are you coping with all of this?
Yeah, well, usually our strategy for this is we try to tie family vacations to school holidays. So for example, as I'm recording this podcast, where I'm supposed to be is on a cruise ship in Mexico, but that obviously did not happen. So for me, I think a lot of the things with kids really depends on, first of all, the family situation, and second of all, the ages of the kids. So for example, my kids are about to turn 15 and about to turn 13. So for me, it's generally easier. Usually, if I need to get focus work done, I just kick them out of the house, though that is not something we can do now because of the whole quarantine situation. But you can at least have a conversation with them and let them know, okay, we're in focus situation, you've got to be quiet, and they get it. We had one of our dojo members mention yesterday in Slack, or a couple days ago, that both her and her husband are now working from home full time, but they also have, the Netherlands is on lockdown, so they have an 8-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old in the house as well. So that makes it very, very difficult when you have young kids as well, because you can't have a reasonable conversation about boundaries with a 1-year-old, for example. Some things that I know definitely I have done in the past, and members of our community and team have done in the past, is adjust your waking hours as much as possible. So maybe that means waking up an hour earlier just to try to get some focus work done before everything falls apart. I know author Mel Robbins has talked about, she used to have what she called her power, I don't know if she still does this, but she has her 7:30 at 7:30 or something like that, where she had this 30-minute window between when she was able to get the kids' breakfast made, and then she kind of got into the office to communicate with her team, and had that 30-minute block where she would just really, really power through things before everything worked out. If you don't have that option, one thing that I know some families have done, and we've talked about this in previous podcast episodes, is if your kids are old enough to understand this, I know what Mike, who was used to be on the podcast, would do is they had this light, that this alarm clock that had a light on it, and when the kids were old enough, they knew that the light would turn green at 7:30 or something like that, and then they were allowed to come downstairs. So if the light hadn't, the alarm clock hadn't gone to that certain time yet, then they knew if they were awake, they would just stay in bed reading or doing whatever, and then coming back downstairs at that time. Obviously, that doesn't work with a 1-year-old, but if your kids are old enough to understand that, there are things you can do to make that work. One suggestion I just saw on Twitter yesterday, which I thought was an interesting one, was the woman and her husband were both working from home, and they have kids, very young kids. So what they did is they worked out a schedule where they would take 2-hour blocks. So for example, maybe her husband would watch the kids for 2 hours, and she would do her focus work for 2 hours, and then they would switch. So then she would do stuff with the kids, and the husband would hole away in the office, and he would work. And that's the way that they managed that, to kind of split up the parenting so that they each got some focus time, but also were able to take care of the kids. So that's an option as well. I think the key, though, is if you have young kids, we all just kind of need to accept that we're not going to be as productive as we could be if we were in the office. Don't beat yourself up about it. A lot of employers now are understanding that this is the case. So honestly, if you're on a, like that BBC video that's been going viral again, if you're on a Zoom call and your kids run through the background, you know, have a sense of humor about it, because we're all kind of in the same situation.
Based on my own experience working with clients who had kids and wanted to figure out a way to be more productive or get published and write a book or wanted to get something done while, you know, dealing with kids at home, I have found and discovered that the most effective way is either to wake up earlier so that while the kids are still asleep, you can get some stuff done, and or staying up later so that when the kids go to bed, that you can then do your work as well. So this is oftentimes really useful for stuff like that's project-based, I would call, right? So for example, if you want to publish a book, if you can get that writing done before everyone wakes up, that's a big win, right? And also if you get some writing done after everyone went to bed, that's a big win as well. And that's an easy thing to do, and that's, I have found, to be the most reliable strategy to really get stuff done and moving stuff forward. Now, if you're working from home because you have to be, you know, present in day-to-day time, and if you have to be present while your kids are awake, obviously, and running around your home and everything else, that obviously becomes more challenging. And I think, like you said, Brooks, the age difference makes a big difference in terms of how you deal with that, right? Whereas you know, if they're younger, then obviously they don't understand that daddy is busy, right? They just go in and, you know, vie for your attention. It kind of reminds me of that clip that you probably have seen at some point online. There's like this newscaster sharing his opinion about something, and then all of a sudden his daughter walks in the background and is like, you know, hugging him and like screaming for his attention, and he's just continued to talk while he's live on the news and just, you know, going on. So obviously that might happen as well, right? So but I agree, Brooks, if you have somebody or if you're somebody who has a lot of really young kids, just accept that you're going to be a little bit less productive compared to people who, you know, have older kids or no kids.
And like you said, we'll drop some links in the show notes. So theproductivityshow.com/corona. We'll drop some links in the show notes to some earlier podcast episodes and blog posts we've done about this topic with some other tips that you can do. Because it is possible to get stuff done with kids in the home. It just takes some creativity and flexibility.
So that is tip number two, how to get anything done with kids at home. All right, so let's go to the third section here, and that is how to focus while fear, news, and social media is dominating your life. As this pandemic is going on, coronavirus, COVID-19, however you want to call it, I'm sure you've experienced that everyone's posting on Facebook, everyone's posting on Twitter, on Instagram, all the social media accounts and channels. You're watching the news. You know, that's all people talk about, right? People are texting you stuff. Whenever you're seeing somebody online or in person, people are always talking about COVID-19, and it's kind of hard to escape it. And for that reason, it's so much more challenging to focus, to get stuff done. The World Health Organization even encourages everyone to consume less during this time, just for your own mental health and for your own sanity. So what are some things that you can do to make sure that you are focused, getting stuff done, not getting distracted? Well, one app that I would recommend you use if you have a hard time staying focused or you get easily distracted is an app I mentioned at the very beginning, which is Freedom.2, or some people just call it Freedom. But if you go to Freedom.2, It's an app that you can download to block websites, social media accounts for periods of time. So you can say, hey, block Facebook between 6 a.m. in the morning till 5 p.m. In the afternoon. And that way, whenever you go to Facebook, it will just basically say, hey, this website is blocked. And you can implement this on your phone as well. So it's really useful if you are somebody who gets easily distracted, right? So by just firewalling your attention this way, you can kind of like block yourself from getting distracted. So that's one of my favorite tips. The other focus tip that you can use is what we call the Pomodoro technique. So if you don't know what the Pomodoro technique is, it's really simple. Basically, you set a timer for 25 minutes, and all you do during those 25 minutes is get one particular task done, right? And so you just focus on one thing for 25 minutes. And once the timer goes off, then you can take a break for 5 to 10 minutes. And then once you feel like you're ready to go, you just repeat the same process over and over and over again. And so that's what we call the Pomodoro technique. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes as well, so you can check out it in more detail of how you want to implement this. But that's a really easy and effective focus technique that we recommend for most people.
Yeah. Another thing that you can do is basically remove your ability aside from using blockers, which is definitely a great strategy, but add as much friction as you can to checking social media, checking the news. So one thing you could do, and this is what a lot of people recommend anyway, but it can be really, really powerful now, is leave your phone out of your office. So put it in a drawer, or if you work from, well, I guess we're all working from home now, put it out of the room on the stairs or something like that. Just have it so that your phone isn't within arm's reach. And if you have apps like maybe the Twitter bot, the Twitter app on your Mac, or Tweetbot, remove them from your computer. We don't need to have an app on our computer in order to work. So make it so that if you do decide to check social media, then at least you have to do a little work for it. So this is a case where friction can really be your friend. Another thing you can do is, you mentioned earlier in our top three resources about Calm, which is an app that I use as well. And that is a great opportunity for working that into your day as well. So taking breaks during the day, having a guided meditation, or there's a lot of relaxation techniques in Calm or in Headspace or even whatever app you choose to use, or even if you don't use an app, something else. Just taking like a 10-minute break during the day can really help you alleviate some of the stress. Now, this whole situation with fear, news, and social media dominating your life is something I've actually really struggled with for the last while. I mean, if you are listening to this and you're somebody you're taking the approach of, oh, I'm just ignoring the news, this isn't a big deal, more power to you. For me personally, I've found that because we had multiple trips planned, I found that I really needed to stay on top of things, and also stuff with my kids. We have members of the AE team that are currently under quarantine because they've interacted with people that had the virus. So a lot of times we feel like there is information out there that we need to know. One thing that I have found effective is choosing times to go and seek out information. So for example, I'm in Canada, as we said, and yesterday or the day before yesterday, our prime minister was giving an update. And then yesterday, our provincial health minister schools minister was giving an update about schools. So what I decided is, instead of like trying to work, but at the same time looking up information about what was being said and not being really focused on either, what I decided to do was take a 15-minute break, go watch the speech, find out what I needed to know, and then go back to work versus trying to do both. So choosing times for information gathering and choosing times to work, that can be a good strategy as well.
One of the strategies that I like to use during this time is, I have pretty good discipline, I would like to say. And I would definitely benefit from using something like freedom.to to block the websites and such. But an easier step for me is to just log out of all my social media accounts. So I logged out of Twitter, logged out of Facebook. And so anytime I go to any of these websites to check up on stuff or even on my phone, I have to log in again. And because they all have complicated passwords that I store in 1Password, yes, I could technically, you know, invoke 1Password with Face ID or on my computer, just use Touch ID to log in. But it's just more friction. And again, anytime we can add friction to something, it lessens the likelihood for us to actually follow through and execute something. And so that's why I think the idea of like putting your phone away is so helpful, because if you put it in a different room, I mean, if you really just want to quickly check in on something and you have to go to the other room, that extra step could just stop you in your tracks from actually following through on that, right? And so for me, logging out of all my social media accounts is one way to do that. I know a friend of mine, he deletes Instagram from his phone. And then every time he wants to check it, he'll say that he'll have to like download the app again to actually be able to check it. So he'll delete Instagram every single day and then reinstall it every day as well, so that he kind of like forces himself to not check it. And that friction of just installing it again was good enough for him to be like, hey, you know what? I'm just doing these quick check-ins. I need to stop doing this. And it allowed him to be more focused and less distracted. So more friction is, in this case, always a good thing. Now, the opposite is also true. If you actually want to follow through and stuff, right? Less friction is always a good thing. So that's really good for like building habits and such, right? And for me personally, also, the Pomodoro technique is the one I use the most right now to kind of like get focused, because yes, I get easily distracted and, you know, I like to be able to zone in on whatever I need to do. And I find the Pomodoro technique, I, in this case, use 50 minutes. So 5-0, 50 minutes to focus for one period of time, and then take like a 10-15 minute break whenever I'm done before I dive back into it. So you can accomplish a lot of things in 50 minutes when you really focus. And I find the Pomodoro technique just really useful for that. And yes, I use an app for that on my Mac called Vitamin R. But sometimes I just use, you know, the Amazon Echo as well, or just a timer on my phone, right? You don't need to have fancy timers to make this work. And then the other thing I find helpful is just continue my daily meditation practice. And so I use Calm, like I mentioned at the beginning, so I just continue to do that. So that hasn't changed. But as that is like foreign to you or just new to you in general, I highly recommend you go check that out as well, just to kind of calm yourself down, get yourself centered so that whenever you're tackling something, you have a clear head and you know exactly what you need to do.
That's one upside about working from home is you, I think we're more likely to take those meditation breaks, where if we're at the office sitting at our desk, we might not feel comfortable sitting there and doing a meditation for 10 minutes when everybody's walking around. But working from home, it makes it more possible to do that. So I definitely recommend you take advantage of that.
All right. So that is tip number 3 here. And let's move on to tip number 4. And let's talk about how to stay healthy and sane. Now, as we're all staying at home here, it's easy to get depressed, not get any sunlight, to go crazy, right? Your mood might change quite a bit because you're not in your usual environments. And it's easy to just like get out of control here and to overeat. Somebody was jokingly texting me yesterday because she was working from home for the first time. And she told me, Tan, I don't know if I'm hungry or if I'm just eating and snacking all the time. I don't know what the difference is nowadays, because I feel like I'm eating all the time and I'm just forgetful if I ate or not. I'm just eating all the time because my fridge is right next to my desk. And I go, oh yeah, I never thought about that, but that is such a good point. So one of the things that I encourage people to do is just to continue working out. So even though we might be quarantined, that doesn't mean that we can't work out. Brooks, I'm curious to hear, what are you doing for this?
Yeah, well, I've shared on the podcast before that every morning I do a morning walk. And so that, thankfully, this situation hasn't impacted that, because I go really early, so I'm not really seeing anybody other than coyotes anyway. So that's no problem. And then, with my kids home, my kids are usually very active. They play a lot of organized soccer and that sort of thing, basketball. So what I've started doing too is just going to the elementary school beside my house and just playing some basketball with my kids as well, just to kind of keep active there, but not going to a gym or anything like that, just playing outside. I'm actually I'm a pretty solid dunker on those elementary school basketball hoops, so I have a feature in elementary school basketball if anyone wants to sign me.
I've seen your skills before and I'm pretty impressed on those courts. So for me personally, I don't usually work out at home whatsoever. So this is actually my first time really doing this. I am keeping up with just being outside and going for walks, something I always like to do, especially now as the weather is getting warmer. I'm trying to get more out of my home to get that sort of stuff done. But I just started ordering some dumbbells. I ordered a kettlebell as well. I also ordered a mace bell. So if you don't know what a mace bell is, think of it as like a long stick with a weight at the end. So it's really useful for like certain exercises. And I've been doing that a lot with my personal trainer. And now that the gym is closed, I don't really see him. So he recommended I got those three things, dumbbells, mace bell, and a kettlebell. And you can do most body workouts with those kind of equipment at home. So I'm literally just going to go on my balcony and do those workouts. And he kind of gave me exercises to do. But also I'm watching a bunch of YouTube videos right now to just kind of like stay in shape. And so I'm trying to actually do something every single day. So instead of doing three workouts a week, which I usually do, I'm trying to do something every day just to stay active and get myself, you know, moving, because it's so easy to just sit all the time when you're working from home. So getting your body moving is a great idea. So one of the things I want to do as a new habit personally is even if we're not being quarantined, is anytime I'm taking a break from work, just to do a bunch of kettlebell workouts. Because if I'm having one next to my desk, I might as well do some squats, might as well do a Turkish getup, I might as well do some simple things, you know, just to get my body moving and staying in shape that way. So those are some of the things that I'm looking forward to implementing and using to kind of like stay with the workouts and the exercise in general. The other thing you can do to kind of stay healthy and sane while we're going through this quarantine period is to continue to be outside and catching some sun. So we talked about, you know, going for walks. I know, Brooks, you like to go for walks. I like to go for walks as well. Are there any other things that you like to do?
No, the main thing is, those going for walks. Now, because I and my kids have been stuck at home, one thing I've started doing this week is just taking them out in the afternoon, just a 15-20 minute walk just around the neighborhood, through the forest near our house. And it's kind of funny, the first day they didn't want to do it. They kind of protested, but I forced them. But today, by day three of spring break, my son, just before coming down to record this, he asked, "Hey, can we go for a walk this afternoon?" So I think they've started to see the benefit too. It's really important to get outside. Janira in the chat is saying that she's noticing a lot of folks taking walks in the neighborhood. It depends what the weather's like where you are. Although even walking in the rain is not so bad. But right now it's weirdly sunny here in the Pacific Northwest for March, so we definitely have to take advantage while we can.
Yeah, I try to go for my walks as much as possible, ideally every day, just to get those steps in, right? So I always like to go for 10K steps that I track on my Oura Ring, and going for walks is an easy way, obviously, to do that. Also, as I'm learning more about sunlight, vitamin D, and how useful it is, I'm trying to be very conscious of catching more sunlight. So every morning I'm trying to be more outside. Anytime I have a break, I try to go outside more often, because vitamin D is so important for your mood, also for your immune system. But also it helps you kind of like keep your circadian rhythm in check, which is like a bodily process that helps you like stay awake and also help you fall asleep late at night. And so that's something that sunlight helps a lot with, as vitamin D production goes up. So if you're somebody who doesn't catch a lot of sunlight, I would recommend supplementing with vitamin D, like at minimum 2000 IU is what I recommend for most people. Again, not a medical doctor or anything, but based on my own research, that's something that I found to be effective. And one thing I have at home is called a Verilux lamp. So it's V-E-R-I-L-U-X. R-I-L-U-X. We'll have a link to it in the show notes as well. But it's basically a lamp that mimics sunlight, but it doesn't have the UV damage that comes with sunlight. So anytime I wake up, one of the first things I do is I go to my couch and I'll sit down and journal. But then also I have the Verilux lamp pointing at me so that I'm catching kind of like quote unquote sunlight without the UV damage. So I'm still getting the vitamin D production. I'm still getting quote unquote woken up. I'm still triggering my circadian rhythm to tell my body to like wake up, keep the rhythm in check and everything else. And also it's a great way to elevate your mood. So I use that every single morning to kind of like wake myself up, but also in the afternoon, I'll use it as a quick pick-me-up. So I'll sit there in front of it, maybe on my couch or even sometimes on the floor, on my rug, and just sit in front of it doing a quick meditation or something as the lamp is shining on me. It's a great way to elevate your mood because you're just getting more quote-unquote sunlight in, right? So don't underestimate the power of sunlight. So if you're somebody who lives, say, Pacific Northwest and you don't get a lot of sun, or you live somewhere like in London or somewhere in the Netherlands where we have a lot of gray skies as well. I used to be really affected by seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, or SAD, which is something I never knew I had until I went to Europe during the winters and I got really depressed and moody. And then I find out that it was because of seasonal affective disorder and also just a lack of vitamin D in my system. So if that resonates with you, I would highly encourage you to go check out the Verilux lamp just to put that in place. All right, so let's move on to the next part here for staying healthy and sane, and that is sleep. Now, as we're working from home and staying home and quarantining here, this is actually one of the best times to catch up on sleep, right? So we can't go out at night. We can't go anywhere. So the best thing you can do, honestly, right now is to sleep more. Catch up on sleep. Take a nap. Go to bed earlier. Like, this is the perfect time to do all of this because sleep is so powerful for healing. Most of our bodily processes for healing happens when we're sleeping. It's also a great way to reboot your energy levels, right? So whether it's taking a nap or just sleeping for a really long time at night, it's a great way to really recover and get more energy as we're getting ready and going about our day. And when it comes to productivity, it's one of the best force multipliers. If you want to be more productive, just sleeping more and getting better quality sleep is really the way to go. I mean, we can't underestimate and reemphasize enough how important sleep for this is. Now, the challenge I'm sure some of you might be saying is, well, Tan, I have kids at home right now. Like, how do I deal with this? Brooks, I'm kind of curious, how did you deal with that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. For us, again, this makes a difference, the age of the kids. So paradoxically, my wife and I have been going to bed earlier ever since this all started, even though it's spring break and my kids are staying up later. But that's because they are of the age that we can go to bed first. One thing I will say, if you are going to do that, things like the Eero or the Circle or some or downtime, if you use Apple devices or the Android equivalent, making it so that there is a cutoff for why, like we have our Wi-Fi and devices cut off at a certain time, that kind of, you feel better about going to bed early when you have that type of thing in play. If you have younger kids, well, they're probably going to go to bed earlier than you anyway. So hopefully that is okay. But yeah, just try to, try whenever possible to get that extra sleep in. My wife and I have actually tried two nights in a row to watch the Westworld season premiere, and we've fallen asleep both time. I don't know if that says anything about us or the show, but definitely this whole situation with the COVID-19 and worrying about loved ones and stuff like that, it can be a bit a bit stressful, a bit worrying. So I think sleep is a very good attitude, very good helper with that. And what we'll do is we'll drop some links to episodes in the podcast we've done about sleep in the past to help if you're having trouble sleeping, to help with that.
Yeah, we have a course as well called Serene Sleep that will help you put an evening ritual in place, making sure that you're sleeping well at night. And we'll have a bunch of podcast episodes that you can listen to, check out some free tips as well. But if you want to dive into a course to kind of show you all the proven methods that we've discovered that you can implement right away, there's a course called Serene Sleep that you can go check out as well. And we'll have links to that in the show notes as well. But again, for me, Verilux, game changer for me. Also, just going to bed earlier. I was kind of inspired with this whole quarantine to kind of like update my evening rituals now. As I'm just trying to get ready for bed, you know, what are some of the steps that I can take to make sure I get really good sleep? So one of the things I put in my evening ritual is, even though I've been doing it, I just wanted to codify it, was to set the bedroom temperature to 65 Fahrenheit. And that way I know I'm going to go to bed at a really cool room, and that's going to guarantee, or at least set myself up for success to have a really good night of rest and sleep. So those are some things that you can implement as well. But again, we'll have more resources in the show notes as well for you. All right, let's go on to the fifth and final part here, and that is social distancing. Now, I don't know about you, Brooks, but this is a word I've never heard of before until last week. And it's just the idea that, you know what, we're trying to isolate as much as possible from other people so that we contain the spread of the virus, right? So instead of hanging out in big groups of people, which allows for the virus to spread very easily and duplicate, by using something like social distancing, where everyone's kind of like isolating, not being around people, we can kind of contain the virus. And so that means people are staying home. Countries are being shut down. Cities are being shut down. Restaurants and bars are being shut down. People can't go to the gym anymore. So we're really being forced to stay at home and stay in our own place and be productive in that sense. But I think this is one of the best things that we can do to kind of contain, but also it can affect you on a personal level when it comes to being social and what you do. You'll probably find that you have more free time all of a sudden, right? So what are some of the implications of that? I'm kind of curious to hear from you, Brooks. How are you dealing with all this social distancing?
Yeah, well, I'm an introvert that's worked from home for more than 10 years, so I had no idea that all this time I've been mastering social distancing and preparing myself for this moment. So for me, it has been okay. However, one thing that it hasn't impacted us yet, but I know it will, is the communications with loved ones. So for example, both sets of my kids' grandparents live locally. Every Friday, my kids stay over at my parents' house, and every Sunday, we go for dinner at my parents' house, and then sometimes we go to dim sum with my wife's parents and stuff like that. So all of that is going to be off the table now. So we're going to have to come up with some way, but especially with elderly people, that interaction is so key to staying healthy and staying positive. So we're going to have to come up with solutions, and maybe some of the solutions we'll talk about, to keep that connection up, even though we can't physically go to their home.
Yeah, some of the things that I'm doing right now more than ever is I am calling my parents and my friends more often. So people are a little bit surprised as they're seeing my name appear on their phone, because who calls people nowadays, right? But I think this is actually a great time to actually call people and be in touch with them and have great conversations, just catching up and such. And also, similarly, I did a FaceTime recently with my two brothers, and we had, since we all have iPhones, we can do like a group FaceTime. So it was both of us on the phone, and we had like a three-way FaceTime that way and just kind of catching up that way. It's kind of funny. Even though they live together now, which is kind of funny. So even though they were like 10 feet apart, we still did a three-way FaceTime so that we could just kind of hang out and catch up. But one of the things we're also doing is playing video games together. So we all have a PlayStation 4, so we kind of like stay in touch that way and play video games. And I also have a dedicated computer, a Windows computer, just for playing video games. And every now and then testing productivity apps on the Windows platform as well, if needed. But for the most part, the gaming station is used for gaming. And so we're playing some video games together as well. Other things I'm considering doing is playing board games, whether that's virtual or in person, maybe one or two people. So that's something I'm considering as well. The other thing that I see a lot of my friends are doing is virtual reality games. So I have one friend who has been into this VR thing for a while, and he actually already is never leaving his home. He hasn't left his home in for like 4 or 5 months already, and just does like virtual reality stuff. So he's hanging out with his virtual friends and community and just living life that way and getting the social interactions he needs from that, which I thought was really cool when I first heard him talk about it 4 or 5 months ago. But now that we're going through this quarantine, I'm pretty sure for him it's just business as usual. But something I personally might want to explore as well, just a curiosity, kind of see what you can do there, especially since we can't go out anyway, right? So what are some of the other things that you're doing, Brooks?
Yeah, so we're also doing definitely doing the FaceTime thing. My kids, since they can't go to their friend's house, they're definitely playing more video games, but video games collaboratively. So sometimes they're arguing over who gets to play at what time because they want their friends are going to be on at that time. So it's become, you know, on one hand, I think to myself, oh, I don't really want them playing more games. But on the other hand, I think to myself, well, this is their pipeline to their friends. This is what kids these days, you know, that or social apps as well. This is what they use to stay connected with their friends, especially if they're not going to school and seeing them. Another thing that I've seen that is really, really interesting, going back to what we were talking about using Zoom to collaborate in a team, is I've seen more and more people setting up these Zoom happy hours. So they'll just get a bunch of maybe friends through in a certain industry or just friends they know through some other means. And they'll just all agree, okay, we're going to hop on Zoom at this time. We're not doing this to work on anything. It's just to stay in touch, maybe have a beverage and just to stay in touch and share ideas. So for people who are used to working with coworkers, but all of a sudden are stuck at home, that can be not a bad idea. Instead of if you are used to going for, I know a company I used to work for when I worked downtown, we would usually on Fridays knock off work at say 4 o'clock and go have a Friday afternoon drink before heading home for the weekend. So you can still do that, just everyone has to be at home and on Zoom. So you can recreate a lot of these ways of connecting. It just has to be virtual now, and it's not as good, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, and as we're going through these tough times, if you feel inclined to help your fellow people out, especially as restaurants and bars are being shut down and local businesses are taking a big hit, you can continue to, you know, order takeout food or delivery food or buying gift cards. Especially in Austin here, I know there's a big rally for supporting local businesses, which is kind of the thing that Austin is known for, is supporting local. And so that's something I'm doing as well. So for example, I had an appointment scheduled this Friday and I had to cancel it because obviously we can't go, but I'm still wanting to tip that person. So still want to pay a tip for that person for even though I'm not showing up, because I know that person heavily relies on the tip to make ends meet. So that's something I still wanted to do. I know, you know, most big companies are going to be fine, you know, they're going to be hurting and affected as well, but you know, it's really the small businesses around us that are being affected. So if you have a bakery that you like to go to, you know, see if there's any shape or form that you can help them out some way, right? Or your local restaurant or service provider or like a store that you go to, you know, everyone's being hurt and affected by this. So whatever you can do to help out, you know, definitely do so. So even while we're social distancing, there's so many ways that we can impact our own little community, right?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of local businesses being creative with that as well. Like Vancouver has a lot of local breweries. I know Austin does as well. So they've been posting on social media saying, hey, if you do an order online, we'll like drive it to your house and drop it off. And then I've heard of people who are, say, consultants with Shopify offering to help local businesses get online to sell, you know, just to get any revenue coming in the door is helpful. So anything we can do to help support the local businesses, it's going to help your community after.
Yeah, so that kind of wraps up our episode here today. And as always, when we publish something here at Asian Efficiency and on the Productivity Show, you can expect it to be simple and actionable. So we want to make sure that we give you simple and actionable things that you can do today to implement and get results. So as we're wrapping up here, what I would recommend is that, again, we only touch the surface here. So whether it's working from home, getting focused, you know, how to stay healthy, making sure you're still getting stuff done, even when you have kids at home. We have so many more resources at Asian Efficiency that we'll link to in the show notes as well. Some for free, some paid. But pick one that resonates most with you that you need the most help with right now, and then dive deeper into that. Right? And if there's anything that we can do in the meantime while we're going through this crisis, email us at support@asianefficiency.com, and we're more than happy to help you out as we're going through this together. Okay. So thank you for joining us on this special episode here today, and we'll see you next time. Do you wish there were more hours in a day? Are you behind on your to-do list? If you want to be more productive and get proven tools to help you save time, then you must check out our new productivity assessment. Within 2 minutes of taking this free assessment, the tool will generate a personal recommendation list of which apps, tools, and strategies that will work for you based on your life situation. To take the assessment, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Take their free assessment today, and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.